Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
All right, holy cow, we're back. Can you dig it? After saving the world yesterday, all over the world, we were busy saving the world. The world is saved. I saw you there yesterday, Courtney Lee Adams Jr.
I was there.
Marching for...
Shuffling.
We were shuffling. We shuffled for women's rights yesterday.
Did you actually go out, Mike?
I was there. I absolutely represented. Are you kidding?
Awesome.
Are you kidding? Because I know women control the world. And, you know, when that lever gets pulled, I want to be on the right side. Believe me. I don't want to be on the wrong side of any woman I know. Least of all you. Courtney Lee Adams Jr. is here joining us today. We're going to be singing songs of protest, rebellion, songs for the resistance. And we're going to be talking about anarchies, hippies, situationists, beatniks, punks, and more.
That sounds pretty outrageous.
That's all right. That's Jack Grace back again.
Yes, here we are.
Sitting in, our guest co-host, the fabulous Jack Grace, is also going to be singing today. He's in the chair usually occupied by Pete Zaremba, who is in Spain doing what I do best, eating, drinking, and making merry. And lurking in the background here is ace trombonist Buford O'Sullivan. Can you dig it live?
Yeah.
That's a burst of trombone. In there. You thought you saw it all. Pornographers, punk rockers, pro wrestlers.
This is the place where
the unexpected can be expected.
Dude,
actually, he's here today in his capacity as my fucking personal bitch. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's how feminist of you.
Well, you know, you said you wanted women to take over the world. Here we are.
Well, you guys already are in control of the world. You know, I've seen governments nearly topple because of pretty women, never because of a handsome man.
Fair enough.
Oh, dude,
that's one way of looking at it.
I just can't. There's so much wrong with that, but we can get into that later.
Exactly.
All right, and Jack, you just got from your trip to Mexico?
I did. I'm recovering from my trip from Mexico.
A troubled troubadour. I saw you got to play a little bit. Singing for your supper, for your cerveza?
I just played a song at one place, and they asked if I would come play at a place, and then I played there, and then someone asked me to play a wedding, and I said no. I was like, I'm just here.
Yeah.
I just brought out a guitar to drink tequila and sing a few songs. And hilarity ensued.
Did you face any anti-American? Anybody call you a pendejo?
No. It was pretty. You know, actually, the part of I was down in Sayulita, they couldn't care less. They're just like, oh yeah, you guys sound like you have some problems. So anyway, we're gonna go do this now, and it just wasn't. It was great to be in a place where it just didn't matter.
I was actually in Mexico. I was in Oaxaca when the war in Iraq began, 2003, right? And the last big march, incidentally, in Manhattan that I was involved in, which didn't stop the war. So we're going to talk about the efficacy of public protest, too. Mm. And I know there were a lot of posts yesterday saying we made history. But that's great. But congratulating yourself is not enough. And I want to talk about that. But the came on TV. I was in some little taco joint in the beach town in Oaxaca. That's the state of Oaxaca, not the city of Oaxaca, because there's both. You know, and I love the woman. There used to be there's a radio station, like the rock station I listened to while I was in Mexico. And she said, aquí en, whatever the radio station is, aquí en Oaxaca, Oaxaca, which is like New York City.
That's
like
the best because it's so much fun to say Oaxaca and to get to say it twice.
Oh,
in a row.
My God. Yeah, but I would just.
Doubles
yeah.
your pleasure.
I would it just is, melt every time she said that. Yeah. Oaxaca, Oaxaca, aquí en Oaxaca, Oaxaca. But the war, the news came on the TV and it was definitely La Guerra por Petróleo. It's the war for oil has begun. That was all the coverage in Mexico and the international coverage. I was saying there was nothing at all that was favorable towards the United States pitching that battle.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah, it was about right.
There was. I was with some Canadians, and they were talking about how well they're treated in Mexico, and the nice Canadian way. This gentleman said, "Well, you know, they seem to have a bit of bee in their bonnet about the Americans." And I laughed. I said, "I wonder why."
Yeah, because we're gonna build a.
Yeah.
Should we say it together?
No, because it's not going to happen.
It's so not going to happen. This guy is so full of fucking shit. It's unbelievable. And what frightens me more is the small lies get me even more pissed off than the big lies. I get the big lie we're going
to
build a wall.
I'd
no,
like
it's
to
not
point
happen.
Out that the Democrats already built part of a wall, and I think that what Donald Trump wants to do is just finish the wall. So
we're going to finish the wall. It's not as compelling... You know, a battle cry. We're going to finish that wall. You know, we're going to finish what Clinton started.
It's you know, just forget about the wall. It's not happening. And besides, all you want to know about, it's very easy to become obvious about Donald Trump. All you're going to hear from Harnan is about ratings.
Well,
it's all he's obsessed about.
Size matters.
Turnouts and ratings.
It's obviously about his cock. When he talks about ratings, it's size. When he talks, everything is size to him and is obviously a man with a very small penis. And I said I was going to avoid ad hominem attacks because I think it belittles us all, but fuck it, he started it, right? So, but it's like, dude, it's the small lies. Oh, I was here last year. I won the Man of the Year award. No, you didn't. Oh, I was talking to Tom Brady, right? You know, NFL superstar Tom Brady. He's going to vote for me. No, you weren't talking to him and he said he wasn't going to vote for you. What the fuck? It's these little lies that are so easily checkable, they're like really, you know, frustrate me, you know? Oh, this was like the biggest turnout in history. Lie. And this other thing, the media, there's no such thing. There's no such thing as the media, as if we were all colluding together. And if there were, Fox Broadcasting would be 45% of it. So, anyway, I'm a little frustrated with
the little lies. Did he tweet
nuts.
Last night? I was expecting like an unhinged tweet storm after the march.
There were two tweets.
Two
one
tweets.
Was fairly vaguely presidential, and said I respect peaceful protest. The other one was like, what's wrong with these bitches? Didn't they vote?
Oh, right, I heard.
I thought it was it actually was the best dig he could have come up with. I'll give him that.
Well, it's not.
Why
enough,
didn't these people
well,
vote?
Because it's not enough to march. And well, I don't think Hillary really mobilized her army as well as she could have. And I don't think people thought it was shoo-in, and obviously.
Well, I think the whole women's march, came out of Pantsuit Nation. It came out of disgruntled Hillary supporters and then morphed into something that was much more broad-based, which I was very happy to see because I was pretty ambivalent about joining it. I didn't really want to walk around with a pussy hat on. I'm not really into that. I would have liked it if this march was like a people's march and not a women's march because I don't think it's strictly a women's issue. I don't believe that getting women in leadership means that you get the politics you want, you know.
No, there are plenty of right to life Republican.
All
it's not even
points.
Just that. I mean, women. Hillary Clinton herself didn't really believe in the politics that good left-wing radicals need to believe in
That's
right
true.
Now. So,
That's absolutely true.
But, you know, after being there yesterday, there kind of everybody was there yesterday. And I did think, that it achieved what it needed to achieve and that, yes, it does matter. And getting out in the streets does matter. And studies show JSTOR just published an article that showed
this.
That it does matter.
But
and,
it
but
matters
what makes it,
if you keep on doing it. You got to keep the pressure on. One march today, yesterday. And it was amazing. The turnout all
Keeping
over
the
world.
Yeah.
I mean, people in fucking Antarctica were protesting.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I, you know, yeah. I all over. I mean, it does matter, but it's not enough because it's the more you do it, the more you're going to get it. And you got to vote the bastards out because that's the way it is.
And even when you talk about Occupy being kind of a failure, Occupy really wasn't a failure, I don't think, because Occupy did set the stage for a lot of this stuff that has, you know, gained in power and gained in influence and gained in momentum.
Ish,
so,
because the quote Spinal Tap, they can be located in the Where Are They Now file.
But that's not true. There are a lot of groups that came out of Occupy that are still working. Black Lives Matter is still out there. The Democratic Socialists of America has been out there and is still out there. There are a lot of, you know, left-wing radical groups that are doing good work in all kinds of cities. And
but
you
it's not the extreme left-wing, though, that I'm counting on, because my experience has been they didn't end the Vietnam War, and they're not going to throw anybody out of office. What's important to me, seeing the march yesterday, was that what once was the counterculture is now becoming the culture. That it was very mainstream, and I saw people, you know, high school aged women and all sorts of people, you know, moms and daddies and little kids. Where when I started protesting, you know, against Ronald Reagan in 1983, 84 with Rock Against Reagan, I was not doing it. It was definitely hippies, punks, and anarchists. And a lot of this, of course, has to do with social media, but I think it was great, the turnout by soccer moms yesterday being part of, you know, an insurgency movement.
That's a good point. You know, I worked for Greenpeace for years. I was actually my job used to always be when I was the 20-something long-haired. They said to me, John, they'd call me John. Then it was, get on the TV. And that was my job. So for the Exxon Valdez oil spill, all these different things, my job was to get on TV. Now, at that point, protesting for these sort of things actually weren't very big. But all you had to do was get in front of the television, and the TV at that point, we're still talking about three major stations. They'd put a crowd of like 20 people in front of the camera, and everyone would get angry. And even the TV would give the image of the protests being bigger than they were at that time, because it was just more interesting for the news.
Yeah.
So in a strange way, that was a real low ebb for protesting.
I'm not sure that I think that, you know, that's pretty much been the you know, I worked with Code Pink a lot during the anti-war stuff in 2004.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was always the goal, is to get media coverage. I have come to think that that's less important than I used to, because I do believe that we need to really fuck things up. I think Amber A. Lee was the one who said, time to break shit and take shit. So my motto.
There's a time and a place. And yesterday we were talking to, and I want to start playing some songs, because that's what's going to save the world. Music, the universal language, obviously, because that's worked out so well in the past. But there is a time to throw a brick through the window of a bank, you know, or to smash a Starbucks. When is that time? Because I was watching it yesterday, and these so-called quote unquote professional anarchists, and I'm wondering, are they just bringing a couple of rotten apples spoiling what's a peaceful movement? Do we need them? Are they necessary? Is this a real revolution? Or maybe we need them, but the timing is of the essence, and it's too early.
I think that you're correct. Your last point, the timing is of the essence. And the time when you're supposed to impose costs like that, they have to be attached to some kind of ask. And so yesterday, which didn't really have an ask, it just had, we're here, we want to be and that's all good. I'm not against that. But, you know, there wasn't a specific, and people kept on comparing that march to women's marches to get the vote. Well, yesterday there was nothing on the table like getting the vote.
Yeah.
So I think that times when you have a specific request, that's when violence, which I consider like violence against property, I don't really consider violence. So
if it was your house, you would.
That's correct, but it's not. My house is not McDonald's, and I'm never going to conflate the two, and neither should you.
No, and I hate McDonald's more than fucking anything. They're poisoners of the
fair
world.
Fair game.
And they're absolutely declared right here in Arts and Seizure as an enemy of the people. Arts and Seizure, a very, very liberal show. Jack, this is no joke. We've come out against poverty.
Yeah.
Air pollution and water pollution, both were against it.
Yeah.
We're against rape.
Yep.
Okay, this is a very liberal show.
Well, you guys are taking some hard stances.
I think we're really glad
to be a part of this.
Yeah,
but here's an ask. Okay, here's my ask, and that's let's get to some singing and protesting. Courtney, you got something?
What do you want me to start with?
Unspool.
Let me start with. I have this Moes Allison song, and since we're talking about liberals, I think that I pissed a lot of people off this year because my hatred for liberals came to be about as strong as my hatred for conservatives, and because I started feeling like liberals were really what was in the way between a real left-wing kind of reaction to what's happening now. So this song of Mose Allison seemed to really get to that. Ever since the world ended, I don't go out as much. People that I once befriended just don't bother to stay in touch. Things that used to seem so splendid don't really matter today. It's just as well the world ended. It wasn't working anyway. Ever since the world ended, there's no more Bible Belt. Remember how we all pretended, going around lying about the way we felt. Every rule has been amended. There's nobody keeping score. It's just as well the world ended. We couldn't have taken any more. Since the world ended, no more black and white. Ever since we all got blended, more reason to fuss and fight. Everything is well defended, no longer seem worthwhile. Ever since the world ended, I face the future with a smile. Oh yeah, I face the future with a smile. Yes I do. I face the future with what? What do I face the future with? I face the future with a smile. Yeah. Big fat fucking shit eating smile.
Yeah.
You dig it.
The ever uplifting Courtney Lee Adams Jr. right here at the comedy by Beaver Sullivan. Let's keep passing the guitar around. Jack Grace, you got a song for the resistance?
I have a song for the resistance that, you know, I didn't learn a lot of protest songs, but I did. And I never wrote one intentionally, but I was thinking about it.
Well,
and
I think
a lot of them are protest songs that I write. In one way or the other.
Dude, you are, like Courtney, our lives are just giant protests.
Yeah,
I get out of bed, it's a fucking protest march.
Pretty much.
I have lunch, it's like day three of Altamont, you know? day three of the Monterey Pop Festival. Altamont didn't last that long.
Pretty much the only time I'm not protesting is the lunch special at Red Hot Szechuan. I'm all for that.
Well, the revolution did not have a raincoat on Friday night, and so the revolution stayed home. But, you know.
Yeah, I know. I was like,
I'm old.
Halfway through the march yesterday, I saw people like, yeah, we've done enough saving the world today. I'm getting cold.
Yeah, no, that, for some people, look, it always was. Every protest has been, on some angle, people enjoying a social thing, people thinking they're going to get laid. That's always been
at a women's march.
As well it should be. Yeah, it's just the question is not everybody has the same intentions.
At your own peril, you could have made a pass at any number of women yesterday. Yeah, and see what would have fucking happened.
Mike, were you traumatized by an anti-sex feminist? What happened to you?
Well, I consider myself a pro-sex feminist. I consider myself a radical pro-sex feminist.
I know that.
No, yesterday's march was great, but I'm glad I scrapped my original concept for a sign, which was, you should smile more.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, because that wasn't going to go
over.
That
was a good idea, because then when you got punched in the head just like that Nazi, people would have been like,
by the way, that douchebag on TV, I don't think that helps the cause.
No, he totally deserves
it. He does deserve it.
He's a Nazi.
He deserves worse.
Listen, I'm sorry. Yeah. I got to read this, but he said that when he gave the Nazi salute, it was in a spirit of like good fun and irony or something. So I figured he got punched in the head in the same spirit.
All right.
Okay.
There's
a time and a place for everything.
On that note, this song is called Bad Wind Blowin'.
Ha!
I'm not happy at all about the way things going down. Hard to feel good about a bad wind blowing round. What else can you do? Just try to see it through. Can't change the weather, so better change your point of view. Streets turn a bitter cold everywhere in town. Lean in against the wind or you'll get your ass blown to the ground. I'm not happy at all about the way things going down. Hard to feel good about a bad wind blowing round. Yeah. Wind keeps blowing me, hard to ride it out. Say it can't last, but I swear at times I have my doubts. I'm not happy at all about the way things going down. Hard to feel good about a bad wind blowing round. Yeah. Happy at all about the way things going down. Hard to feel good about a bad wind blowing round. Hard to feel good about a bad wind blowing round. Hard to feel good about a bad wind blowing round.
Oh, another uplifting song of protest. Tell you what, we're going to take a short break. Vitor in the booth. I want to hear. I got some punk rock queued up because this is where it started for me. It was Rocking Against Reagan. These are my friends, Reagan Youth, who I always like to play on the radio. And this is 2 minutes of protest. Hit that button, Vitor. See what we got.
Oh boy, here we go.
Hear that? I didn't win.
All right. Crazy. Crazy. And I love bringing that back because I say that's where, you know, I guess my first presidential election I voted in, it was 1984, and Reagan Youth, my good friend David Sergio.
Who did you vote for, Mike?
I believe it was Walter Mondale, 1984. You know, one of a long list of like losing Democratic candidates.
Great shot of him in the tank that won you over, huh?
No, that was
Dukakis.
Same guy.
But again, yeah.
Kinda.
But hey, you know what? Hey, look, the Dead Kennedys played on the Mall. It was one of the great punk rock lineups of the day. MDC played, DRI, Dirty Rotten Imbeciles played, Reagan Youth was very popular. The Crucifix, one of the scariest bands of all time. Honestly, I'm looking back at the crowd, maybe 10,000 people. There was no social media. And again, it was all anarchy, hippies, you know, and punks, and not what we saw yesterday.
Right.
I'm all for anarchists, hippies, and punks.
I am too. But I'm all for, you know, numbers and like a popular, like I said, a popular uprising, not just the fringes.
It was possibly the biggest protest of all time, considering all the numbers around the world.
Around the world.
Yeah.
And I think we're proud of it. And, you know, I think it's got to change. You know, hey, man, that's right.
I'm talking to people outside of our booth.
That's right. You got your hipsters. They're fighting the
menu.
Fight the. Hey, all I'm saying is give pizza a chance. Okay.
Yes. I'm going to.
We're going to give it a big chance.
Well, listen, as ever, it has been the fastest half hour on the radio today. And I can't believe we're surrounded by hippie anarchist punks and potential neo-situationists, because it's going to be my new movement.
Neo-situationists.
Like we're bringing it forward, Daddy-O. Yeah. But in a few minutes, we're going to hear new music from my friend Gary Lucas. We're going to end with that. And I wanted to plug a couple gigs Gary's doing. He's playing at the UN next week. Another troubled troubadour, Gary Lucas, is doing a double hit next Friday, January 27th. He will be at the United Nations playing solo acoustic before the General Assembly for Holocaust Remembrance Day. And that's a gig, right? For he's opening up for speeches by the Secretary General and a bunch of ambassadors.
I've done that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've done that gig.
And later that night, he's going to be doing live soundtrack music for an Orson Welles silent surrealist classic, Too Much Johnson at Roulette in Brooklyn. This is January 27th. Find Gary Lucas on the internet. Have you ever seen Gary do his soundtrack, live music to a silent film?
And Gary was associated with what actor?
Captain Beefheart.
That's what I thought.
Gods
it was Harry Lucas.
Yeah.
And Gods and Monsters. He will also be playing on a plus for our friends Bust Magazine, who were great sponsors of the march yesterday on Valentine's Day, a benefit for Planned Parenthood. That's the Music Hall of Williamsburg. That's sponsored by our friends at Bust Magazine. So we're going to hear from Gary in a minute. But before we go, I think Courtney Lee Adams Jr., my friend, also known as Mogatron in certain circles.
Mogatron!
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's next wave Courtney Lee Adams Jr., Mogatron. We're going to hear one more, and we're going out for Arts and Seizures. Thanks, Jack. Grace, sitting in for Pete Zaremba. And we'll see you again soon, Jack.
Yeah.
Courtney Lee. Buford Sullivan on the horn. Vitor in the booth. And everybody in Bushwick and at Heritage Radio Network.
Can go to Mars. And I want to get famous so I can hang with stars. What have they got? What have they got? What have they got that I ain't got? Tell me, man.
A job?
Yeah, maybe. What have they got? What have they got? What have they got that I ain't got? If you take away the money and the big fast cars and you make them ride buses so they can't get far, you take away their spray tans and those freaky white teeth, I gotta tell you, baby, they're just like you and me. Oh, I wanna be a plutocrat so I can make the rules. And I want someone to kiss my ass when I get the blues. What have they got? What have they got? What have they got that I ain't got? What have they got? What have they got? What have they got that I ain't got? If
I weighed 80 pounds and I was 10 feet tall. And daddy brought me all the shit in the shopping mall. I'd mop up every tear I cried with real human hair. But no one ever make me cry, cause they wouldn't dare to. Is it a long way to go? I don't really think so. Should I go there alone? I don't really think so. You gotta come with me. It'll look just like home. I don't really think so. 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 It's gonna be a whole different place. I wanna be a Bolshevik so I can kick some ass. And I wanna go postal on it. Send my revolution first class. What do they got? What do they got? What do they got that I ain't got? Not much, man. What do they got? What do they got? What do they got that I ain't got? If you take away their money and the shit-faced grins and get them all to contemplate a real state of sin, we'll throw a wild party in their great big yard and get on their spaceship. We're gonna get on their spaceship, man.
Space is the place.
We're going up there. And go to Mars. Beep, 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 beep. Yeah, who's up here, man, with us? Who's up here in space with us? Is it a long way to go? I don't really think so. Should they go there alone? I don't really think so, man. Will it look just like home? I don't really think so. I don't really think so. I don't really think so. I don't really think so.
One more time for Courtney Lee Adams Jr. Riots and Seizures. All right, don't forget, the revolution starts now. We're going out, like I said, with our friend Gary Lucas. This one's called Kraut Fishing in Trump America. Some musical situationism for y'all. Let's get some pizza. What do you think, Jack?
Pizza. I think that's a great idea.
All right. And everybody, don't forget, get out there and do not forget. You may have made history yesterday, but if you don't do it every day, it don't count, man. It don't count.
Right on.
Run for office.
Good point.
All right? Be part of the process. Change from within. Here we go. Arts and Seizures. See you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Alweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.